in welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome. We consider you our honored guest and hope that you'll come back at every opportunity. If you have any questions about the things you hear or see today, we hope you'll ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. We do not claim to be perfect people, but we do claim to have the perfect standard, and that is the Word of God, the Word that is right and cannot be wrong, the Word by which we shall be judged in the last day. And we're thankful for the brethren who work and worship here on a regular basis. Brethren, South End is a special congregation. Our assembling together on the first day of the week is a special occasion. Let's never take any of that for granted. Today we begin a sermon series entitled, They Never Get Old. We're going to be looking at different stories in the Old Testament. Some of my personal favorites. Stories that I love to read and stories I love to preach about. Today we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 13, the story of the young prophet. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now Jeroboam was the first king of the northern kingdom. He reigned from 931 to 910 BC. And he instituted his own false system of religion. He created false idols to be worshipped in Dan and Bethel. He ordained false priests. He ordained false feasts. And he made the people sin, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 12. Well, as we move into chapter 13, God sends a prophet to come and prophesy against the king and his altar. Verse 1 says, And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings. And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, Behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign that the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be torn down, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. So King Jeroboam, up in the northern kingdom, had instituted a false system of religion and made the people sin. Therefore, God sent a prophet. Since he's contrasted with an old prophet later in the chapter, we call him the young prophet. So God sent the young prophet to Bethel to prophesy against the king and his altar. There was Jeroboam by his altar in the presence of the people. When suddenly the young prophet spoke up, O altar, altar. Can you imagine how the crowd must have fell silent and all eyes were focused on the young prophet? O altar, altar, thus says the Lord. Behold, a son shall be born to the house of David. Josiah will be his name. And he will sacrifice on you the priests of the high places. And human bones will be burned on the altar. This was certainly an insult to Jeroboam and to all the worshipers. He had just prophesied against the altar. He even gave a sign, Behold, the altar itself will be torn in two and ashes will be poured out. When Jeroboam heard this, he stuck out his hand and said, Seize him. No doubt Jeroboam was going to have this man arrested and prosecuted. Seize him. But the Bible says when he stuck out his hand, it froze. Jeroboam was unable to pull his hand back. Jeroboam quickly had a change of heart and he said to the young prophet, Please pray for me. Pray that my hand might be restored. The young prophet prayed to God and the Bible says the king's hand was restored. So you see, Jeroboam's attitude had changed. Just moments earlier, he was angry with the young prophet. Now he's pleading for him to help. When the king's hand was restored, he said to the young prophet, "Please come to my house. Come home with me for dinner." The young prophet said, "Sir, thanks but no thanks. The Lord gave me specific instructions. He said I'm not to eat bread, I'm not to drink water, and I'm not to return home the way I came." I'm sure the young prophet was flattered that Jeroboam wanted him to be his guest. But the young prophet said, "I can't come. God gave me specific instructions." In fact, the young prophet said, "King, if you gave me half of your kingdom, I couldn't do it." You know, if this is where the story ended, we would all be very impressed with the young prophet, wouldn't we? And by the way, he deserves our praises. There is a lot about this young prophet to admire. It wasn't an easy task going down to Bethel to prophesy against the king. I'm reminded of how Moses must have felt when God said, "Hey, I want you to go speak to Pharaoh." Can you even imagine that? "You want me to return to Egypt where I left as a fugitive and speak to Pharaoh?" Can you imagine how his heart must have started beating faster and faster as he walked down the halls of the palace? Or how Elijah must have felt as he went to stand before Ahab and the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Brethren, these were not easy tasks. Can you imagine how Ananias, the God-sent preacher in Acts 9, must have felt when God said, "Hey, I want you to go to Straight Street to Judas's house and visit with Saul of Tarsus." Ananias said, "Wait a minute, I know about Saul of Tarsus. He's a terrorist. He's made it his mission to destroy Christians. And God, you want me to go see Saul of Tarsus?" Can you imagine how Ananias must have felt as he walked down Straight Street toward Judas's house? Can you imagine how Ananias must have felt when he knocked on the door? "I'm here to see Saul of Tarsus." These are not easy tasks. Well, listen, here God told this young prophet, "You're to go to Bethel and you're to prophesy against the king at his altar." That was not easy, but the young prophet did it, and he deserves our praise for that. Furthermore, when the king said, "Hey, I want you to be my house guest. I want to treat you to dinner." That's very flattering. Who wouldn't want to say yes? Here the king wants me over for dinner. But the young prophet stuck to his guns. "Thanks, but no thanks. God gave me specific instructions, and I cannot come." But unfortunately, this is where the story takes a tragic turn. After prophesying against the king and his altar, verse 11 says that some men in the crowd had a father. He was at home that day, and he too was a prophet. He's called the old prophet. Well, they went home and they told their dad what happened. "Dad, you're not going to believe what happened today. Jeroboam was standing by his altar when suddenly this young man in the crowd spoke up. He started prophesying against the king." "What? Right there in the presence of everybody?" "Yeah, Dad, you should have seen it. He started prophesying against the altar. When the king stuck forth his hand, it froze up. He couldn't move it. The young prophet prayed to God and his hand was restored. And on top of that, Dad, the young prophet said that the altar would be torn apart and ashes would be poured out. And that's exactly what happened." Well, when the old prophet heard this, he said, "Where is this man? I want to meet him." They told their dad where he had gone. And so the Bible says that the old prophet saddled a donkey and went out after the young prophet. In verse 14, the Bible says, "And he went out after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, 'Are you the man of God who came from Judah?' And he said, 'I am.' Then he said to him, 'Come home with me and eat bread.' And he said, 'I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way you came. So the old prophet finally caught up with the young prophet. Excuse me, sir, are you that young prophet? Are you the one who came down from Judah? Yes, sir, I am. Will you come over to my house and have dinner? I want you to come home. The young prophet said again, I'm sorry, I can't do it. God gave me specific instructions. God said I'm not to eat there, drink there, or even return home the way I came. Thanks, but no thanks. Well, the old prophet was probably a little agitated, maybe embarrassed. And so he said to the young prophet, let me tell you something, son. I'm a prophet just like you're a prophet. And an angel of the Lord came to me and he said that you are to come to my house. An angel said to me, bring him back with you into your house that he may eat bread and drink water. Now put yourself in the young prophet's shoes. Now on one hand, you know clearly what God said. But here's an older prophet. He may have told the young prophet, I've been prophesying longer than you've been alive. Here's an old prophet saying, but God told me through an angel that you are to come home with me. There's no excuse for the young prophet's disobedience. But can't we kind of sympathize with him? He was getting mixed signals. On one hand, God had given him instructions. But this old prophet claimed the same source, an angel of God. Gave him different instructions. The last line of verse 18 is one of the most tragic lines in the whole Old Testament. The Bible says, but he lied to him. The young prophet had been lied to. The old prophet was not telling the truth. He lied to him. And the Bible says in verse 19, so he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Well, as they were eating dinner, this old prophet did receive revelation from God. God told the old prophet that the young prophet was disobedient and he was going to die. God told the old prophet that the young prophet wouldn't even make it home. He was going to die for disobedience. And the Bible says that as he made his way home, notice verse 24, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. He was killed by a lion on his way home. How do we know this wasn't just a freak accident? Did you notice that his body was killed but not devoured? If a lion kills you, he's going to eat you. But he didn't hear. Further, did you notice that the lion didn't go after the donkey, nor did the donkey run away? Don't overlook these facts. Within the natural realm, if a lion kills you, he's going to take a bite out of you. And if a donkey sees a lion anywhere close, he's going to run for his life. The lion will probably trail after him. But none of that happened here. Here you had the man dead but not devoured, with the lion and the donkey just standing there. I believe this was God's testimony, that it was I, the Lord, that caused this. The young prophet was punished. Well, when the old prophet got word of what had happened, he went and he took the body of the young prophet and buried him. And the old prophet did feel regret for what had happened. Brethren, there are some important lessons for us to learn from this story. And truly, this story never gets old. What are some lessons? Number one, we learn that religious people lie. That's just the bottom line. We need to come to grips with that. How many times on our radio program will we expose someone who teaches error and someone will cause, I just can't believe that person? No. He's such a wonderful person. He's done so much good. They just can't seem to fathom that a religious person, a person claiming to be a man of God, could ever lie. Well, here we have case in point.
an old prophet. People ask, was he truly a prophet of God or not? I don't know if he'd have done his job. He'd have been prophesying against the king and his innovations.
But all the Bible says is that he was an old prophet. He was a man of God.
He even claimed to have received revelation through an angel. An angel of the Lord told me that you are to come home. People today are so gullible, aren't they? The second a man claims that God spoke to him directly, hook, line, and sinker. What'd God say? You know, one preacher on television said that God told him that he needed to raise the funds to buy a private jet to fulfill the Great Commission. And wouldn't you know it, people sent to him. Well, you know, if God told him to buy a private jet, then God told him to buy a private jet. How much do I write the check out for? People are so gullible. Recently, a fellow on the program after us on Thursdays, just in passing, said, yeah, last week in our assembly, somebody dropped dead and I raised him back up. Didn't get a single call challenging him. Not a single person seemed to even take notice. This man just claimed to have raised the dead. People are so gullible. Listen, we need to be as the noble Bereans in Acts 17:11. Remember, they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They knew that man is fallible. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, man can be wrong. That's an important lesson here. Religious people lie. Don't get me wrong. We don't all lie. But just because a person is religious, just because a person wears the title pastor or reverend, that doesn't mean he's telling the truth. Here's another lesson we learn. Angels will not be sent to contradict God's word. Now think about the young prophet. And by the way, he is without excuse. Though as a human, I can sympathize. God told him specifically, do not eat there, do not drink there, do not return home the way you came. He knew that to be true. But on the other hand, he had this old prophet saying, yeah, but God sent an angel and he told me something else. Rest assured, God will never do that. God will not give his word and then send an angel to contradict his word. You know, when we talk about the Mormon religion, I've told you many times, I used to argue with them whether or not Joseph Smith Jr. really received an angelic visit from Moroni. There was a time when I would say, that's not true. An angel didn't visit him. But there's really a better way to argue that. Grant that an angel visited Moroni. All right, fine. Or that an angel visited Joseph Smith. Fine. But what did Paul say to do with that angel when he contradicts the word of God? In Galatians 1, Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Fine. Joseph Smith was visited by an angel. But the fact of the matter is, the angel contradicts the word of God, therefore the angel is to be accursed. That is anathema, cut off. God will never send an angel to contradict his word. Number three, disobedience will be punished. People today only want to talk about the positive. They want to talk about the love of God, the mercy of God, how beautiful heaven must be. They don't want to think about the fact that God will hold us accountable. If we are disobedient, there are consequences. Most people today don't want to think about that. They only want to think about the positives. Well, listen, if there was ever anybody who had a good excuse, it was the young prophet. Now, wait a minute, God. I know I was disobedient, but listen, this was a prophet lying to me. I was trying to do right. I turned down the king. I even turned down the prophet at first. If ever there was anybody who had an excuse, it was the young prophet. But he was still without excuse. Even he was punished for disobedience. In 2 Thessalonians 1, Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in flaming fire, listen, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who do not obey the gospel. If you're disobedient, mark it down, you will be punished. Number four, those who follow false prophets will be held accountable. We had a fellow call the radio program, and he took the position that, you know, if my preacher is in error, that's on him, not me, right? You know, let's say that he is teaching error. He'll be judged for that, not me. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. The fact of the matter is, we will be held accountable. The preacher will be held accountable, but those who follow after that preacher will suffer as well. We can't just throw up our hands, well, if he's wrong, that's on him. No. If we're in fellowship, if I'm a member of that church, then that's on me too. Did you notice it wasn't just the old prophet who was punished? The young prophet, for going along with the old prophet, was punished as well. Number five, the accuracy of prophecy. Did you notice there in verse number two, he spoke of a time when God would raise up a man from the house of David named Josiah. And he said that Josiah would offer the priests upon the altar. That prophecy was fulfilled 300 years later. We read about it in 2 Kings 23. Now think about it. He uttered this prophecy. And by the way, it wasn't vague or general. He named the man. He will come from the house of David. His name will be Josiah. And lo and behold, that prophecy was fulfilled 300 years later. I marvel at the messianic prophecies in the Bible. You know, they're not just shots in the dark. These Old Testament prophets were very specific. He will be born in Bethlehem. His hands and his feet will be pierced. He will be crucified between robbers. I mean, these Old Testament prophets were very specific. He will be buried among the rich. Joseph of Arimathea was a very wealthy man. He will be raised up. His body will not see decay. These prophecies were uttered 700 or more years earlier. And yet they were fulfilled to a T. And finally, number six, God's spokesman may fail, but God's word will never fail. I, as a preacher, as a weak, frail human being, may fail. Your favorite elder or Bible class teacher, as a frail human being, may fail. But God's word will never fail. We need to understand. I've known of situations within the church, not here at South End, but in the church at large, where a preacher will do much good. He will preach the truth without compromise. He will baptize many people. He'll write great articles and tracts. He'll do much good. And then one day you'll find out, lo and behold, he committed adultery. Or for whatever reason, he's fallen away. And some people are so crushed, they cannot recover. They have put so much stock in one particular person that when the person fails, they fail. Listen, we ought to admire preachers of truth. We ought to do all we can to uphold their arms and encourage them. But at the end of the day, let's make sure our anchor is not in the messenger, but in the message. Here you have a young prophet. And wouldn't we all agree, he did much good. But because of deceit on the part of the old prophet, he fell short. He disobeyed God. Because the prophet failed does not mean his prophecy failed. His prophecy still came to pass, didn't it? So understand, God's spokesman may fail. Peter! You might call Peter the Lord's right-hand man. Didn't he have his own shortcomings? Didn't he stumble at times? God's spokesman may fail, but God's word will never fail. Brethren, I've preached this before. In fact, I just preached it a few weeks ago in Somerset, Kentucky, and before that in Miami, Florida. It's one of my favorite Old Testament stories. And truly, it's a story that never gets old. Come back tonight. Lord willing, we'll look at another of my favorites from the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament, though not our standard of authority today, has been preserved for our learning. Let's heed the lessons learned from the young prophet. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, we never conclude a service without offering the Lord's invitation. An invitation for you to come to Jesus Christ in humble obedience. Will you come this morning believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is? But understand that Jesus said you must repent of your sins, you must confess your faith, and you must be buried in the waters of baptism. That is, immersed in water. What for? For the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ did the hard part on the cross so you could do the easy part right now. He chose death physically that you might live spiritually. He wore a crown of thorns on His head that you might wear a crown of righteousness on your head. Why would you tell the Lord no? Maybe you're saying, oh, I'm not telling Him no, I'm just not ready to commit. If you don't respond favorably, then you have told the Lord no. Don't do that to the Lord. He gave all He had to give for you. It's time you commit your life to Him. Maybe you've taken those steps, but you sinned publicly. Maybe you've been baptized, but you've gone back into the world. You've fallen away from grace. If so, this invitation's for you too. Don't tell the Lord no. Come to Jesus as together we stand and sing. As together we stand and sing.